Can you hear me okay? Good. First of all, I've got to say that I stand up here and I believe in the Bible. And in Matthew 10, chapter 10, verse 20, it says, while I'm here, that I don't even have to worry about what to say. It says the Holy Spirit will speak through me. I've seen it time after time. So I know that the Lord has a word for us today. So if you'll just pay attention to me just a little bit, some of this might go a little differently than what we were, say, grew up and what we were taught. But today's a different day. So if you'll just open your hearts and your mind, then I think the Holy Spirit will speak to you. So if you'll pray with me real quick. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We give you praise and glory for all. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we rebuke Satan and any demonic spirit that may try to hinder your word, Lord God. And we'll give you praise and glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay. So, I might be running into stuff up here. And I got a remote. I don't even run the remote at home, so I hope this works out. So I have a lot of scriptures, and as much as I love to hear the Bible pages turning, I thought I would help you out today. So what I want to share with you is something that God's been working on me in my life, and it all stemmed from a year and a half or so ago. A friend of mine, and not church people, just a friend of mine, asked me to pray for him and his wife. And when I went there, I didn't think she would live through the week. We prayed salvation. I believe she received that. But then she lived for a year. Never got out of bed. Lived on orange juice and milk. And Satan started pounding me. What did I do wrong? Did I pray wrong? Did I miss something? And he kept pounding on me and kept pounding on me about this. But today, I'm punching back. Satan has no hold on us. So, if you'll help me, we're going to eat his lunch. We're going to punk him out. So, where is this? They already got me up there, so that's good. I want to start this out. We're going to talk about trials of our faith. I hope I get through most of this, at least the good part. But it starts out, if you'll turn your Bibles, if you haven't, even though it's up on the screen, we're going to turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, and where we're going to start. We all know this chapter. We call it the faith chapter. But it's a whole bunch of Old Testament saints showing that they live by their faith. So in 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. When God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken up from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away Before he was taken, he was commended as one of that pleased God. 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. 7, by faith, Noah. And if you read this chapter, it keeps telling Moses, a bunch of Old Testament saints, by faith, what they did by faith. There again, 8, by faith, Abraham, his faith. 9, by faith he was made his home in a promised land like a stranger and foreign. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs of him with the same promise. But as you see all those, like I said, they're all Old Testament saints. And they lived a little differently than we did. And I'll show you why here in 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I'm not knocking none of the old. But here when we look in 40, I passed it. I told you I wouldn't be very good at this. Since God has planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect by their faith. And that's one thing you can say about the Old Testament saints. They lived by their faith. But as New Testament Christians, we have something better. There we go. Salvation. We have Jesus Christ. So like I said, I'm not dogging the old. But when we have something better, why not go to the better? It's kind of like if you remember that old phone that hung on the kitchen wall with the long cord. Remember that? Golly. That was something. But now we have a cell phone. We don't have to deal with all that. We can rock around wherever we want. It's better. So I wanted to show you this, and we're going to talk about faith first for a minute. And it comes from Habakkuk 2:4. See, the enemy is puffed up. His desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faith. His faith. His faith. We still have something better. Here's a couple of scriptures that I brought along with faith. In Galatians 3:11. Clearly no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. He took out that little three-letter word, his faith. We're going to live by faith. Another good one. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. So by faith, we're made righteous. Good faith scripture. This one here, drawing back, giving up, quitting. It's good faith. But here's the one I want to bring to and get to, is what I'm starting to talk about. We have something better, and here it is. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live in Jesus' faith. Let me explain Jesus' faith. As you all know, he came to this earth to redeem us, to make us righteous, to make us his children. And by doing that, he suffered. He died on the cross, not only for salvation, but for healing, for restoration. He did all that for each and every one of us sitting here. So now they can say, you may say, I'm sick. I believe I'm healed. But what I want to say, I'm sick. Jesus, I believe that you believe that I'm healed. It's what God tells us. So he paid the price on the cross for that. So I want to believe what you believe, Jesus. And I want to trust in that. His faith. I want to live in the faith of Jesus Christ. He did all the work. He did everything for us. So when I say that I don't really think that I'm righteous, because maybe the way I live sometimes, I have to now contend that Jesus Christ believes I'm righteous. So I have to believe what he believes. Am I making sense this morning? I know it might just be playing around with a couple of words, but I don't think so. I've spent a lot of sleepless nights on this, and I'll save you the trouble. Have faith in the faith of Jesus Christ, who paid the price for everything. Isn't that amazing? So now I can take myself out of that by asking Jesus Christ into my life. He now lives in me. And guess this. Now that he lives in me and my faith is in him, I can rest. Rest. I can rest in what Jesus Christ did for me and for you. I'm not saying that living by faith is a bad thing, because all those Old Testament saints that we saw did a lot of good things by their faith. But we have the better. We have the better, which is Jesus Christ. So here, if I can go to the next one, we're going to go to Habakkuk 2:4. No, I didn't. I went back there. Sorry. Uh-oh. I lost the scripture. Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. Good thing I had it in my Bible. I knew this might happen, so I wrote them down. Habakkuk 2:4. See, the enemy is puffed up, and his desires are not upright. But the righteous person will live by his faith. Oh, I know where I messed. Yeah, okay. I had that. So there again, like I said, they were living by their faith. And if you want to do that, I mean, it still works, but why wouldn't you want to go to the better? It only makes sense. So now that we live by faith, in the faith of Jesus Christ, we rest. It's kind of like if you would happen to run home and you're hungry and you only had 10 minutes to eat. But my wife says, I prepared a meal this morning. It's already ready. I can rest and eat. So that's where we become totally dependent upon God. Totally dependent upon God. That's my goal for this year. Get self out of the way. I've been on my own since I was 16 years old. So this was hard for me. Because if I didn't do it, it didn't get done. So I was a big, big me person. Me. I could do all. I could take care of everything. Till I found out that I can't. I found out that I couldn't. And it was even in the COVID thing. When I had COVID, I woke up one morning. And I was sick. And I thought, I'm about to die. Is this what's going to finish me off, God? That's when I realized that the only person, the only thing that could save me, that can do all these things for me, was the person that I couldn't see. And it changed something in me. I found out that I needed to deliver myself from myself. Because if we're not totally dependent upon God, we get in trouble. When you start getting up in the morning and planning your day, if you get less and less vocal about needing God to bless your life, look out. Look out. Because Satan's getting ready to get you. I need God in every bit of my life. I need Him to wake me up in the morning. I need to help Him get me to bed at night. I need Him to help me to sleep. I need Him 24 hours a day. Because with me, I'm nothing. Nothing. I have to depend on God for everything. I know you're going to laugh at me at this one, but I'm going to say it anyway. I need God, like I said, in everything. When my wife sends me to the store for a can of green beans, I told you you'd laugh. When my wife sends me to the store for a can of green beans, I'm standing there in the green bean aisle. Do I buy Del Monte or do I buy Stokely? I know you'd laugh. But is that going too far? Nice. Come on, Charlie. Now, it's just a little bit much, isn't it? No, it's not. Because when we can learn to hear God on the little things, we'll hear Him on the big things. Was that crazy? I didn't have to get on my hands and knees in the grocery aisle. I just stood there and asked the Holy Spirit. And guess what? He said, get the generic. It's 50 cents cheaper and just as good. So don't tell me it's too little. Because it's not. I wrote the scripture back down again of Galatians 20, 19 and 20. I wrote it down and copied it out of the Message. And I want to read that to you. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how to do this. I identify myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living now, living is not mine, but is lived by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I am not going back on that. I've been too far to turn back. I wouldn't know why I would want. I would hate to live in these days without Jesus Christ in my life. It would scare me to death. And I've went through and done a lot of things, but living without Him is something I can't do. I need Him every day. Every day. All day, in every way. So that makes us, again, like I said, self-reliant on God. We can rest. We depend on what He did on the cross, His finished works. And that's why they call it His finished works, because it's already done. But then I know there was a lot of times there were things that happened in my life, and I just want to keep them to myself. Because when a trial came, I related that to sin. I related it to my mess up. And I didn't want nobody to know that. I was afraid what you'd think. But how about when we have those trials? It's gold in the fire. He's wanting to use you through those trials to build you up, to make you stronger for what He has planned for your life. It's awesome. God is so good. But as I thought about those scriptures, here's a scripture that came to my mind. It's John 9:1. And I love this scripture because it gives me a better comfort of knowing that it's okay to ask God some of the dumb questions I ask Him. Does anybody else besides me ask God dumb questions? Yeah. Here's a good one to make you feel better about that. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man?" Well, the man was born blind. What did he do? Sin in his mother's womb? Cuss? Gaga, goo-goo, cuss. I mean, how would it have been this man who was born blind when he was born blind? That's a dumb question. But then God straightens him out. "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." God wants to see His works displayed in us. He wants the world to see that. And He uses these trials that we have so that when we come through them, We can use them to glorify God. Make sense? So when we see somebody going through something, we don't look at them and say, oh, man, what, you know, and I used to be that way. When something is going wrong, it's like, oh, Lord, what have I done? What have I done now, this time, you know? But all those trials was to strengthen me, to make me a stronger Christian, so that I could be totally dependent upon God. And I believe this year will be the year we're going to see. Either we're going to declare our independence from God, or we're going to declare our dependence upon God. And I think some of us, and I know that I have, we've declared independence of God, and we don't even realize it. Like I said, if you get up in the morning and start planning your day, planning your week, if you don't involve God, you don't need Him. I don't need God. I have a good job. I don't need God. I have good friends. That's what Satan wants you to say. I don't need none of that. I have everything I need on this earth. And I've seen a lot of rich people miserable. Miserable. Because they think they have what it takes to be like God without God in their life. It's easily done. Satan tricked a third of the angels in heaven. Tricked Adam and Eve in the garden. In the garden, they declared their independence from God by what they did. Be careful. Be very careful. Because just as soon as you think you don't need God to bless you in your drive, bless you while you're at work, in all times of the day, just to get up in the morning, I need God. And if He can trick all the ones that He's already tricked, don't think you're so slick that He can't trick you. Because He can. Oh, where am I at? I believe all this, these provisions are found in suffering. God's using you. You may be suffering now, but He's going to bring you through. And it's going to be to glorify God with what you do, what you've been through. I can stand up here today because I've been through a lot. I'm still here. And I'm a better Christian. I'm a better man. Because when I rely on myself, I mess things up. Time after time. But I have a God who loves me. He knows me as He knows you. He knows you're going to mess up. That's when you got to ask for forgiveness. When you got to believe in what Jesus Christ did for us. Gold tried by fire. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:12. We often think that since I'm a Christian, since I'm a child of God, these bad things, these sicknesses, all these bad things shouldn't happen to us. Because we're a child of God. That's way wrong. Way wrong. Look what it says here. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, and I assume all of you is wanting to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. What does it say? We'll be persecuted. We're going to have trials. We're going to have these things that we have to go through to bring us to the place where we remove self out of the picture. Totally relying on God. Every breath, I depend on Him. Be careful and not declare your independence upon God. You got to trust Him. He has good plans for us, says the Lord. Plan to prosper you. Good plans. It's Satan, the one that comes to kill, steal, and destroy, as it says in John 10:10. He comes to give you life to the fullest. But you got to trust in Him. He did the finished work. Here's another one. Matthew 5:10-12. And I never really thought about seeing trials and persecution in the same sentence with blessed. Never would have thought of that. But hear what it says. Blessed are those who persecute you because of righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. It's going to happen. Especially in the world we live in today, where the things that are evil are called good, and the things that are good are called evil. Expect more. But what's it say? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before you, it's going to happen. God tells us to look out for that, but be exceedingly glad. Be exceedingly glad. Am I making sense this morning? Good deal. Here's another thing that I struggled with. Luke 22:42. I kept trying to do these things. I would say all the right prayers, have all the faith scriptures, everything that I thought that I was trained in my faith to do. You pray 2 hours, you say in all the faith scriptures, everything, all the things in order. And I say, God, I believe in you. I believe in your faith, that what you did for me, I'm able to receive. Because God's going to use you. And He's going to use this church in a mighty way. But it's going to take some work. We're going to have to sharpen up on that Bible. We're going to have to be into the Word of God. It's even how Jesus defeated Satan in the desert, with the Word of God. And we act like it's nothing. We act like it's nothing. I don't need that Bible. Leave it on the table and collect dust. Or you can be like me and put candy in there so you know when you want a piece of candy, you can go read the Bible. And I've seen others around here with empty wrappers fall out of their Bible case. I'm not the only one. Yeah. I told you I'd get you, Mark. Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet, not my will, but yours be done. That's something we need to add into our prayers. If it's your will, God, it be done. We just have to hold on and trust that God has something good for us. And He does. He does. One of the hardest trials that was in my life had a 9-year-old granddaughter. She had an asthma attack and died. And it shook me to my core. I miss her. Would I want to be here with her today? Yeah. Would I take her out of the arms of Jesus? No. Because I know He has her. Does it still hurt? Yeah. And I'll never forget that day, which the day she died also was her father's birthday. But as I was standing there in the hospital room, Pastor Phil was there. I was standing behind him as he was praying. And God just would not quit talking to me. I heard nothing of what Phil said. Here's the scriptures I have for you. As I stood there on my granddaughter's deathbed. It comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, 17, and 18. Real short. Rejoice always. I thought, come on, God. Really? I didn't feel like rejoicing. But that's what the Word of God tells me to do. Pray continuously. Because that's what God wants us to do. Be in contact with Him day by day, minute by minute. Pray continuously. 18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So when something happens, rejoice and be glad. Because it's God's will. I can't heal anyone. I can't save anyone. I can't do a lot of things, but Jesus Christ can. And this is his throne. And I wouldn't tell you to not come down here if you didn't have faith. But what I would say is don't come down here if you don't believe what Jesus Christ believes. And that he's made healing available to us by his finished works on the cross. So my question for you this morning, as we work as a church, as brothers and sisters, to build up, not tear down, build up. Are you going to declare your independence from God? Or are you going to declare total dependence on God? That's the only choice. You either you are or you're not. And I know even with myself, I got a lot of work to do on that. The biggest thing I want to pray this year is, Lord, save me from myself. Help me get self out of the way so you can use me in the way that you want to use me. Pretty simple, isn't it? Something we all have to work on. Self. Depending on God. Day by day by day. He'll bring us all through. Better people. We'll see this church grow in a mighty way. And if we take it out into the community, we can show them the love of God. That's what I pray for you today. That he continues to bless you. That he continues to do a good work in you. So that in doing so, it'll glorify God. Take some time this morning to think about your life. When are you going to come up? Take a few minutes. Very important. Because you might have already declared your independence from God and not even know it. Because you got too much self in your way. You know, I love you all. I care about each and every one of you. This year is going to be a year that a lot of things are going to happen. Even when I said just a few weeks ago, we're real close to being in a world war. Today we're even closer. We're seeing the Bible unfold right in front of us. Are you ready?